Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Scuba Shack Radio, Season 6, Episode 135, recorded Monday, April 8th, 2024. Scuba Shack Radio is a bi-weekly podcast in support of our mission to empower individuals with knowledge, ability, and experience to venture underwater in pursuit of their aspirations and to advocate for ocean health and sustainability. Hello again, everyone, and once again, thank you for tuning in to this latest episode of Scuba Shack Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Centropino. Well, I hope you had a happy Easter and are now ready for spring to really settle in. You know, that little bit of snow last week put a damper on our spring fever. Well, today is also the day of the solar eclipse. Now, we're not in the total path here in Connecticut, but it should get fairly dark this afternoon. So just remember, protect your eyes out there. Well, up here in Connecticut, we're very fortunate to have some great college basketball teams, in particular the UConn Huskies, both on the men's and women's side. Unfortunately, the Lady Huskies almost pulled it off against a very tough Iowa team, a great job considering all the injuries they had. And then tonight, the men are going for their repeat national championship, hopefully. You know, I'll certainly be watching that one. Now, on today's show, I want to talk a little bit about extinction. An extinction in the past with a message from Martha and how it can happen in the oceans today. But up first, let's get some shop updates and then some news and information with Wet Notes. This time of year at the shop is always a little different from year to year. I think it has to do when Easter falls and how folks' schedules work out. This year, it seems to have been a little bit slower than last year. I hope that people are just waiting to get Easter behind them before they start to think about diving again or learning to dive. Like I said, every year is a little bit different. The big news for us over the past couple of weeks is that two of our affiliated instructors were recognized as PADI Elite 50 2023 instructors. This designation is given to individual PADI instructors who achieve 50 or more PADI certifications in a year. We're very fortunate to have Mike and Bill affiliated with Scuba Shack, and they bring their passion and professionalism to all their courses. And they like to get out there and take people diving. I also had a chance to connect with our PADI rep about a week or so ago. We were discussing a new opportunity for us to get more of our divers into PADI Club. See, we're going to be able to process PADI Club memberships through the dive shop. If you've been listening, you'll know that I have been a big-time promoter of PADI Club. It's really a great program, and it has some awesome benefits as well. In my discussion, we also talked about another milestone that Scuba Shack is coming up on. I'm going to leave you in suspense with that one for now, but we should pass that milestone in the next few months. We did finish up another confined water course over the weekend. This was a smaller class of 6. Our normal class size is 8. We found that 8 students with 2 instructors and 1 or 2 dive masters is really nice because we can keep the pace going very well. I really like it when we can keep a three or 2-to-1 dive professional to student ratio in the pool. Now, our dive masters and assistant instructor classes are proceeding well, and the plan is to have them all finished up by the end of May. So I guess even when it's slow, it's still busy. This is Wet Notes here on Scuba Shack Radio for Monday, April 8th, 2024. Well, let's start off with some equipment news. Now, I'm not sure if this is exactly breaking news, but it comes from Orcatorx. I actually think I talked to them about this when I caught up with them down in New Orleans at the DEMA show. We just got a notice that they have a new dive light out, and it's the ZD710 handheld dive light. Now, one of the really cool things about this light is that it has a focusable beam. You can dial it from a very narrow 8-degree beam all the way out to 72 degrees. There's four intensity settings, including low, medium, high, and something called turbo. The ZD710 also boasts a max lumens of 2700, and I guess that's in the turbo mode. It uses a single 21700 USB Type-C rechargeable battery, and the burn time ranges from 1.5 hours on the high setting to 9.5 hours on the low setting. Interestingly, there are no run times for the turbo mode. Now, the light is packaged with a charging cable, a lanyard, spare O-rings, and a bracket for attaching it to a handle. The light is not yet listed on the Orcatorx website as of this podcast, so I don't have the MSRP. I have a question out to them, and I'll give you an update just as soon as I find out. We also received a notice from Light & Motion about a week ago, and that was about their new Sola Dive Pro 2000 with the Goodman handle. The interesting thing here is that the Goodman handle is new. They have redesigned the thumb groove on the handle to make it easier to use, and they say it is designed for secure grip even when you're wearing gloves. There is also a replaceable shock cord that looks like it wraps around the thumb. Now, the handle's made of the durable anodized aluminum and has an oversized thumb screw to facilitate the easy use. While our message showed it being part of the Sola 2000, it also comes, and that package comes in at $599 for the light and the handle. They're also selling just the new Sola Goodman handle for $99. If you're a fan of the Goodman handle, you may want to check this out at lightandmotion.com. Last month, I promised you an update on Lake Hydra in Bethlehem, PA. Yes, that's the new name for Dutch Springs. Now, I was able to connect with Ken Kraft, who's the CEO of Lake Hydra, to get more information on how divers will be able to go there. This year, the site is only going to be available for training. There isn't going to be any fun diving there for now. Here's how it works. A dive professional would need to contact Lake Hydra and arrange for training. For example, if someone were going to conduct an open water or advanced open water course over a weekend, they would let them know, and the dive professional would be given a code that is good for that weekend only. Then their students would need to purchase their tickets online, and they can check out with that code that their dive professional gives them. The student will then get a QR code for entry. Each dive professional will need to make sure they're currently authorized to teach and have appropriate insurance listing Lake Hydra on their policy. Right now, the daily entrance fee for a student at Lake Hydra is $60 per day. So it sounds like things are coming along, and Ken has put a lot of photos out there on the Facebook page. While topside, it's a lot different, Ken said all the attractions are still there underwater. Too bad about the fun diving, because we did have a lot of fun when we went down there. Maybe someday. If you have an enhanced membership from Divers Alert Network like me, then like me, you probably received your physical copy of the first quarter Alert Diver magazine. The cover shot is a great white shark approaching the back of a boat, and apparently Stephen Frink was on the platform when the shark emerged. That's pretty interesting, and I'll bet the adrenaline was pumping. A pleasant surprise is that the membership profile had a profile on Faith Ortiz, who I have known for a number of years going back to her days at DUI. Also, I found the article on Kwajalein really fascinating. Too bad it's not really a dive destination, because it sounds like there's some really cool things out there. As always, the magazine is full of important and informative information. The hard copy of the magazine is certainly worth every penny of the enhanced membership for me. You can go ahead and check out the Q1 edition of the Alert Diver magazine from Dan. Here we go again. More devastating news regarding North Atlantic right whales. I just got an email from Gib Brogan, the Oceana's campaign director, relaying that another whale was found dead last week off the coast of Virginia. The whale was identified as number 1950. The suspected cause of death, a vessel strike. Exacerbating this event is the fact that her calf will now probably not survive. The numbers keep piling up. 7 dead right whales in the last 3 months. Maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to do something here. And finally, and kind of a bit of a segue into my commentary, is a recent update from the U.S. Department of Interior. They had a press release on their website dated March 28, 2024, and it was titled Biden-Harris Administration Finalized Rules to Strengthen Protection and Recovery of Threatened Endangered Species and Their Habitats. Sometimes things work fast in Washington, and sometimes they work out for the best. You see, the Department of Interior proposed 3 rules to protect endangered species on June 22, 2023, and they received 468,000 public comments. I guess they were overwhelmingly in favor, and in just over 9 months, the rules are in place. The big one is that they are reinstating the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Blanket Rule 4D, offering protection that was revoked in 2019 under the previous administration. The Endangered Species Act is now 50 years old, and while there is some debate about its effectiveness, it does tout a 99% effective rate, meaning that 99% of the animals that have been placed on the list under the act have not gone extinct. As you will hear in my commentary, we could have used that in the late 1800s. Well, that wraps up this installment of Wet Notes here on Scuba Shack Radio. For this episode's commentary, I'm again going to stick with an aspect of ocean health and sustainability, but I'm going to come at it from a slightly different direction. This commentary also ties into a couple of items I presented in this week's Wet Notes and my discussion on vessel speed restrictions in the last episode. Now, my commentary today is about extinction and its permanence. Now, I started my journey with this topic by thinking about extinction in a business sense. I began to think about the companies or business models that no longer exist, and then thought about tying that into how species go extinct. That led me to 2 different examples. The first is Blockbuster. Yeah, I know there might still be one Blockbuster store still open in Oregon, but for all intents and purposes, the company is extinct. As for a species, I chose to take a look at something close to home here in the United States, and that's the extinction of the passenger pigeon. I found out there was a lot I didn't know about this species, and more importantly, how its extinction is so very relevant to today. Relevant today because I think we are repeating the same mistakes we made with the passenger pigeon, even though we know a lot more and should be more enlightened when it comes to our ocean species. My research on the passenger pigeon led me across an array of articles and YouTube videos, and it pointed me in the direction of one particular book, A Message from Martha, The Extinction of the Passenger Pigeon and Its Relevance Today. And that's written by Mark Avery. Now, he's a scientist and naturalist who lives in Northamptonshire in the UK. See, Martha was the last of the species, a female passenger pigeon who died on September 1st, 1914 in the Cincinnati Zoo. The last passenger pigeon in the wild was shot in Ohio in March 1900. Now, just 30 years earlier, they estimated that there were billions of these birds in the U.S. Earlier in the 1800s, some suggest it was between 5 to 10 billion. Yes, that's billion. What happened? 2 major events. Massive loss of their habitat and incredible slaughter. When there were efforts to try to protect the passenger pigeon, government officials, obviously wanting to stay in office, had this to say in 1857, just 43 years before they were all gone in the wild. "The passenger pigeon needs no protection. Wonderfully prolific, having vast forests of the north and its breeding grounds, traveling hundreds of miles in search of food, it is here today and elsewhere tomorrow, and no ordinary destruction can lessen them or be missed from the myriads that they yearly produce." Let's tie this to a relevant issue today, the destruction of sharks through all kinds of activities, one in particular, shark finning. According to shark stewards, shark fishing kills an estimated 86 million sharks a year, with 80% attributed to the shark fin trade. The Shark Research Institute puts this number at 100 million a year. Now, there are over 300 sharks and ray species redlisted by the IUCN as either vulnerable, endangered, or critically endangered. So just how many sharks are in the ocean? I don't think there's a good answer to that one. I saw some estimates that said it could be a billion. Maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower. And herein lies the biggest challenge: the vastness of the ocean and the fact that it is viewed as a common area and therefore nearly impossible to enforce any regulations. And it's not just sharks that are under attack. Ocean species are considered the most vulnerable for extinction. The Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History says that from snails to whales, approximately 2,270 species are listed as endangered under the U.S. Endangered Species Act. This endangerment isn't coming from natural predators. It's coming from humans through the loss of habitat, global warming, and illegal indiscriminate overfishing. It's also coming from vessel strikes, as we've seen with the right whale. It's coming from entanglement in discarded fishing gear. It's coming from plastic pollution. It's coming from every direction. Can we do anything about it? Yes, we can make better choices, but that may be hard. We may donate to various causes, but that may be difficult for some as well. But we all have a voice, and it's easy to exercise that voice, whether it be to your elected officials, letters to the editor, or maybe social media posts that shine a light on how species can easily go extinct. Now, I want to close with the message from Martha that Dr. Avery penned in his book from 2013. I reached out to Dr. Avery, and with his permission, here is that message from Martha. "I forgive you for wiping out my species. You didn't really mean to do it, and maybe you knew no better. I forgive you for all the other accompanying ecological destruction of those times. The same excuse applies. However, the excuses are slipping away. You can now choose what type of world you live in and what type of world you create in a way no other species can. You can choose the level of future ecological devastation, and the excuse of ignorance no longer holds. Whether you do better in the future is a test of your worth as a species. You have the knowledge and ability to live sustainably on this planet, but it is a hard road from where you are now. It no longer matters of what you know. You know enough. From here on, it's a test of whether you care. Do you care enough? Please care. Please do better. Please start now." The story of the passenger pigeon is really, really a sad one. I also want to thank Dr. Avery for allowing me to share his message from Martha. Yes, we need to care and do better. Well, that wraps up this episode of Scuba Shack Radio. Again, thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back again in a couple of weeks with more. Until then, safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Shack Radio is a bi-weekly podcast supporting our mission to empower individuals with knowledge, ability, and experience to venture underwater in pursuit of their aspirations and to advocate for ocean health and sustainability. Talk to you next time.